Good morning. I knew I was going to do that. It is a good evening. Thank you for being here tonight. We are going to have time in the Word tonight, and let me tell you, we will have a time for giving an offering. I'm hopeful that you're praying about that this week, even if you're not given to give today. We would ask you to be prayerful about that. We will take an offering in the middle of this service. Let me just remind you, since it is evening time, we normally do not take an offering. If you're giving to the church, an offering of your tithe, your offering to the church, please use the church envelope that is in the pew back. Everything else you can just toss right in the plate, and that will be for the team. Is that clear as mud? If you're giving to the church, put it in a church envelope. If you're giving it to the team, just put it in the plate. It's fine. Or you can put in a love offering, revival offering, whatever that other envelope is. So hope that's clear for you. If you're new with us here tonight, the bathrooms are out the doors. Go past the stairs to the right and follow that wall. You'll find the restrooms and a water fountain. Do be mindful this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we will have noon meetings down in Fellowship Hall. Lunch will be provided for free. Come and bring people with you, as many as you want. And we'll have a time of worship in the middle of the day. And then in the evening at 6 o'clock, we will have a meal also for free down in our Fellowship Hall. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be in here for worship. Again, if you have not considered it, or if maybe you're still thinking about it, we're hopeful that a cleanup crew is not the same crew every night. So if you would like to volunteer for one of the night's sign-up sheets or out in the hallway, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday evening, that way the same people are not left out of being down here in worship. So we're hoping we can be fair in doing that. The team is going to do their best to make sure services are recorded so that you are able to at least hear it if you happen to be down in the kitchen the entire time. So let me pray, and let's begin our time together tonight. Appreciate Bubba Stahl and Gary Coven being here with their spouses. Let's pray together. Father, we look to you as always. You are our God, your creator, you're our redeemer, you are the finisher of all things. We thank you, Father, for the grace that you have shown to open our eyes to know that we are in need of a Savior and to provide your Son to come and offer up the sacrifice necessary for our redemption. We pray, Father, thanking you for his resurrection, killing the power of sin and the effectiveness of death for the believer. Lord God, we celebrate you, we praise you, we thank you. We ask you now, Father, fill our hearts with your Spirit. Help us to hear and to see you clearly tonight as we spend time in your Word, as we worship and sing praises to you. May you be glorified through this. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Once again, it is so good to be with y'all and be here with our pastor, Pastor Bubba. Love him dearly. And Pastor Bubba, I've got great news for you. There's going to be at least two people come down during the invitation tonight. You know how I know that? There are two seats empty up here. And so I know there's two sinners out here that are going to have to come down during the invitation to repent. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to have a good time. It is good to come and worship the Lord tonight in this place. I'll tell you what. God is in this place because you brought him with you. And he said he'd meet with us. He said where two are gathered in his name, he'd be there also. He's here. We're going to worship him tonight. Would you join in standing with me as we praise him together? I see praises to you.
Greatly
while Teresa continues to play, greet someone in the Lord. Tell them you're sure glad they're here tonight. Give them a big old holy hug. It'll be all right. Sing that first verse again.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name.
Just give you thanks for being able to be here tonight. We thank you for your presence in this place, and you're worthy of all of our praise, and we're so unworthy. But we lift you up, Lord God. We lift you up, Jesus, our Savior, and we pray that you would be blessed tonight, that you would be worshiped tonight, and that your Holy Spirit might move in our hearts and lives and change us to be like our Savior in every way. We love you. We praise you. We're so blessed to be here. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I had a pastor friend years ago that used to say, you know, if you ever go and look at a fireplace and it's got all that wood on the fire, and those different pieces of wood are really burning fire and just hot and just look great. But he says, you know what happens if you reach out and you grab one of those logs and you put it on the hearth, what happens to it? It goes out. The fire goes out. And that's why we need to remain in Jesus Christ with all of our heart. He tells us that, how important it is to stay connected to the vine. We're going to sing about that now.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Stay here with me.
You sit down for a moment, but we can't sing stand up for Jesus sitting down. So come on, stand up, let's sing.
Holiness, holiness. is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Sing that again. Holiness.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Take my heart and form it.
My heart and form it.
Take my mind.
Take my mind. Transform it.
Take my will.
Take my will. Conform it to yours. To yours. To yours. Oh
faithfulness,
faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me.
Take my heart.
Take my heart and form it.
Take my mind.
Take my mind. Transform it.
Take my will.
Take my will. Conform it to yours. To yours. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Is what you want?
Is what you want from me.
One more time.
Is what you want from me.
Amen. Brother Robert.
All right. Now's the time for our offering. If we can have our ushers come forward at this time. Allow me to pray as we prepare to take up this offering. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for the privilege to be called children of God by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. We thank you that, Father God, you have done all to buy our salvation. And because of that relationship with you now, Father God, we want to express our trust and faith and dependence upon you by returning back a portion to you out of what you have blessed our lives with. And so, Father, receive this offering as we thank you for this team that has come to bless our hearts and to be in our midst to bring us the bread of life. We pray, Father, that you would bless them back through these gifts. And, Father God, for those given to the kingdom's work here, at First Baptist Church, Lord God, that you would multiply that as well. We trust you. We thank you that all things are yours. And that, Lord God, as you take these things, you will multiply them as you did the fish and the loaves to the fullest abundance and full satisfaction of not only our needs, but, Father God, your kingdom's purposes. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, God, there is no one like you. You alone are holy and righteous and just and loving. Your steadfast love endures forever. And we love you, Father. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. And Jesus, for what you did for us on the cross, forever we sing your praises and are grateful. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher and our guide, our constant companion forever. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your long suffering with us and your determination to mold and shape us and change us into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, we give you thanks tonight for all the people that were saved throughout the world today as your word was proclaimed in places, some very remote, and for people who were healed and delivered. And the day's not over. Do it again, Lord, here and all over the world is our prayer. For your glory and for our joy and strength is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Well, good evening, beloved. Happy Sunday. Man, I want to tell you I love Sunday night church. Thank you for having that. And thank you, Brother Robert, again for including Gary and I in this time here. We are enjoying it. And Gary and Teresa, good grief. Why, how do you pick my favorite songs every time? I don't know, but you do. And First Baptist Edna, you are a wonderful congregation. You're a beautiful congregation. And somebody smells good here tonight. I'm not sure who it is, but probably not a man, I can tell you that. But you look good and enjoyed this morning with you. And we want to continue tonight. As we do, I was thinking about hearing the instructions for the envelope. And that's good. That's good. I appreciate that. And it caused me to remember a friend of mine whose brother was a pastor. And I won't call the church. But he said that his treasurer came and just said, "Hey, just FYI, just for your information, every month we get an envelope with a tithe, and on it, it simply says, for everything except the pastor's salary." I hesitated to share that. I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but so I don't know why that, the instructions, but you're very clear about it, and thank you. And thank y'all for coming back tonight. Let's open our Bibles back to Matthew chapter 18, because we're walking through this chapter in the evening service. Tomorrow now at noon, we'll be looking at the new creation from 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then on Tuesday, the new commandment from John 13, 34, 35. And then on Wednesday, the new Jerusalem in Revelation 21 and 22. And to see the use of that word new. But we're looking at greatness in the kingdom. Now, again, just for some context, these five major blocks of teaching that Matthew groups together for us to give us what life in the kingdom looks like. And it starts out with the king, his life, Matthew 5 through 7. Now, I want you to look at how each one of these five blocks end, because that's what commentators pick up on and highlight as to a cue as to what Matthew is helping us to see. For example, look at the end of chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. It's actually chapter 8, verse 1. Of course, you know when Matthew wrote it, he didn't do chapters and verses, excuse me, the last two verses of chapter 7, and look at it. "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching." Now, the next one, Matthew chapter 10, and look how chapter 10 concludes, actually with chapter 11, verse 1, when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples. You kind of hear that, you pick up, there's a cue here. Look at the end of chapter 13. Well, actually, before the end, verse 34. 13:34. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. And then look at the end of chapter 18, where we are, actually 19, verse 1. When Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away into Galilee. And then the fifth one, Matthew 24, 25, the return of the king. And look how chapter 26, verse 1, at the conclusion of that, when Jesus had finished all these sayings. Now that word finished is the word completed, complete. And so we understand that here's some finished work for us. Here's a discipleship manual for us. Sermon on the Mount, the sending out of the missionaries, the spread of the kingdom, the nature of the kingdom, how it's alive, it grows, it bears fruit, it multiplies, the parables. And then greatness in the kingdom as we're looking and spending our time, these five great things that we're talking about this week. And then the return of the king and the establishment of his kingdom on earth. These are parts of Matthew that we spend time learning as an apprentice of Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. Well, tonight, we're going to pick up the next thing after humility. The disciples said, who is greatest in the kingdom? Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what is great in the kingdom, humility. And the attitude of being able to recognize greatness. And when you see greatness, you don't even consider, you don't even think about yourself. They tell me that on those overlooks at the Grand Canyon, there are no mirrors. Nobody's worried about their hair blowing up there because they just are captivated by a scene that is so great. And you try to take a two-dimensional picture and you say, no, that's not it. It's three-dimensional. It's huge. Well, that's what humility is. That someone has gotten all of our attention, and that someone is Jesus Christ and God's kingdom that is now here. And so this humility that sees greatness and obeys with joy and serving gives meaning to the other four that we'll talk about. And what we're going to talk about tonight is holiness, like we've been singing about. And holiness is one of those things that Jesus says is great in the kingdom. Let's pick up. Now, we'll read verse 5 and 6, but we'll really spend more time with 5 and 6 and 10 through 14 tomorrow night when we talk about fellowship. That's great in the kingdom, but I don't want to skip them tonight because they open the door for us to look at verse 7 through 9. So beginning in verse 5, Matthew 18, verse 5, whoever receives, remember, back up, verse 4, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or to stumble, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe. Verse 7. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptations come. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two to be thrown into hellfire. Good grief. That's strong words. We better pray again. Lord, we want to be praying constantly because we love you and we love your word and hearing it. And we desire to understand. Holy Spirit, only you can make that happen. Open our eyes that we may behold glorious, wonderful, grand things out of your word tonight. Give us ears to hear you, Holy Spirit, teaching and speaking. You are our teacher. Teach us, reveal to us, enlighten our heart so that we might become more and more holy like you. That's our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to talk more tomorrow night about these little ones, the least, the last, and the lost, that are so great in God's kingdom. That's just a little preview, just in case something happens between now and tomorrow night. But as Jesus is talking about these little ones, he's reminded of something that he talked a great deal about, and that's sin and repenting of sin, because it causes so much suffering and it reaches out to the innocent. It's not confined just to our lives. The nature of sin is that it reaches out and destroys the lives of other people as well. And Jesus is reminded of that as he introduces this strange teaching about repentance and about amputation. Good grief. Now, you've got to understand that Jesus used different methods of teaching. This method is called exaggeration, and he would use that, and people understood that. Wednesday night, we'll get to that parable where Jesus told about the master that had a servant, a steward, that owed 10,000 talents. People had to have laughed out loud when Jesus said that. That was a great exaggeration, and we'll look at that on Wednesday night. Well, this is one of those things. Now, some people will take and have taken this literally. I don't believe you can take Jesus literally right here. Or else, good grief, our only hope of heaven is to roll in a mutilated blind stump, I guess. And of course, we know it's not our eye and our hand and our foot that causes us to sin. It's our heart. And it's foolish choices. Now, when I say foolish choices, I don't mean foolish like our definition of silly. I'm talking about the Bible definition of foolish. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the book of Proverbs is a stark comparison between the fool and the believer. The foolish man and the wise man. And wisdom is equated with faith, with belief. Believing that what God has said, he will do because he is faithful. That's what wisdom is. That's what faith is. What has God said? He will do it because he is faithful. That's who God is. That's the reason why God loves faith so much. It reminds him of himself when he sees that in you. He loves that because it reminds him of himself. He is faithful, and he rewards faithfulness. Now, of course, rewards, that's a whole other subject that we don't get now, we get later. Sorry, I introduced that, but we'll have to talk about it some. But it has to do with this whole idea of why do the righteous suffer and why do the wicked prosper? And the fallacy of that is that we think that we equate blessings of God with rewards. Beloved, the blessings of God are not the rewards. We get the rewards in another life, the next life. And here's what the reward is: a crown, which means responsibility. The one who wore a crown had responsibility. Well, back to our lesson here tonight. That was sermon number two. You get two for one on a Sunday night. So what is Jesus talking about here? And the book of Proverbs shows us the difference between foolish choices and where they lead, where their destination always arrives, and wise choices. With these strange characters that are so interesting in the book of Proverbs. And you've got both men and women that are these characters in the book of Proverbs. So it's not necessarily, foolish with, certain gender. No, it's across the board. Men and women make foolish choices even when they know where that choice is going to take them, where it's going to arrive. But you look at the book of Proverbs and do your own personal study and notice the characters and how God's Word is showing us the importance of wisdom that comes from God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of it, not the completion of it. It's the beginning of it, the front end of it. But wisdom from God that you can make a wise choice. Jesus summarized the entire book of Proverbs in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 14, 13, something like that. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and easy is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Both have an entrance. Both have a journey, and both have a destination, totally different from each other. But what Jesus, I believe, is talking about here is the greatness of being able to discern what needs to be amputated in my life, because the destination of it is hell. That's where it leads. And Jesus doesn't want any of that in our life, now or ever. Amen. It is a gift of grace that he would even show us this. And so when you're talking about, now of course this is not the only place that that Jesus says this. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, this very same thing. And even emphasizing if your right eye causes you to sin. If your right hand and your right foot, and that, of course, represents strength, the strength in a person's life, that if this is a scandalous in your life, and that's the Greek word that is used for sin, scandalizo, which means to snare, to cause to stumble, to trip, to fall. One of the words for sin. And we know that sin, and we're all so familiar with this, making foolish choices when we knew. And it's like no education will not change this choice. I keep making this choice. Why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do? Paul cried out in Romans chapter 7. I don't understand, but here I'm given the word from Jesus how to repent from these foolish choices, and that's by amputation. You've got to prune poor choices. That's what the message is about tonight. Prune, not your body. Now, your body is going to obey your will. And we'll kind of get into this a little bit more tomorrow with the new creation. But, when you put your faith in Christ, he puts his life in you. Amen. Put your faith in Christ, and God puts his life in you. And you have a new life, a new heart, as the Bible calls your life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. It's a spiritual birth. It's a spiritual life, his life. Peter in 1 Peter says, we've been begotten again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are given a new heart. But beloved, we still have the same stinking mind. And we have made so many poor, foolish choices that our body has the habits of sinning. And by the way, our body loves that and remembers it very well. You know, your body remembers better than your mind. You do know that. How many of you learned to ride a bicycle when you were 6 or 7 years old? Okay. How many of you have not ridden a bicycle for the last 50 years, Richard? Okay. Tomorrow, you can get on one and away you go. You remember it. Your body remembers it. I don't recommend that because you'll probably forget and go through water and get it all on your back or fall down and Robert would be in the hospital visiting everybody. But the point is, you can stop doing something for 50 years and pick it right back up. No problem, because your body remembers. And your body, with the presence of sin, singular, not plural, singular, as Paul describes, loves that. When we went to Bernie, had the nursing home service once a month, and we would always first go get Ruth Cole. Ruth played the piano at First Baptist Bernie for like 85 years. Like she started when she was 8 or whatever. She was completely blind, completely deaf, and had the Alzheimer's. They didn't really call it that then, dementia. Didn't know anything, anybody, who she was or anybody else. We'd go get her, sit her down on the piano, put her hands on the keys. And all of a sudden, she would start playing. Now, here's what was fun. We would all wait with our hymnals, and it was like, name that tune. And we would recognize it, and somebody would say, yeah, 415. We'd find it. We'd be there by the second verse. And we would always sing first, second, and last verse. That's what you do. Or if it only had three verses, we'd sing all of them. And she would play. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know where she was. She couldn't hear anything. She couldn't see anything. Her body did it. Well, beloved, that works two ways with us. With the history of the nature and choice and practice of sin, we've got a great deal to overcome. And Jesus is telling us where to begin. Start at the source, first of all, with a new heart. And with that new heart, now you have the light of the Holy Spirit to inform you of holy choices, choices that will glorify the Father. Now, you still have to trust that that's the right choice, but you can now that you're saved. Amen. And you have the mind of Christ now. Also, to learn before you're saved, you can't learn any of that. But now you can because of the presence of the Holy Spirit teaching you and guiding you and informing you before the temptation comes. He'll let you practice some of making the wise choice. But it begins with dealing with the past poor choices. And the way you do that, beloved, Jesus used the word repent sometimes for this. But here, it really gets our attention. You've got to cut that off and separate it from you. Now, that tells us, first of all, it can't be rehabilitated. You can't teach your will to make new choices. It's by the revelation of God's word, and you choose. You choose. Now, some people will call this willpower. Beloved, your will has no power. I tell you what's powerful. Holiness is powerful. The holiness of God that you experience when you trust Him to go that narrow, difficult way because it leads to life. And you believe that what God has said He will do because He is faithful. God is. And it is a lifelong process because we have made so many of these foolish choices. It's really amazing grace that God doesn't show us them all at one time. We would just faint and never wake up, I guess. But he deals with us one choice at a time. And we sever it. And we're grateful now. Say, now, Lord, I've got to see what pleases you in this situation. Because I know this situation is coming again. It seems like I have to deal with this all the time. And I don't know what it is in your heart, but I know that you know what it is right now. Because it's repetitious. And there is something that's just, the devil uses to condemn you all the time over it. And Jesus is helping us here to have an overcoming faith. But we must first sever that. Separate it. Because we know this choice, where does it lead? It leads to hell, and I don't want to go there now or ever. I want to go that entrance, narrow, one, difficult because the world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly in opposition. You will be different. If there's anything that holiness is, it's different. Some people don't want it because when they see when somebody holy walks in the room, everybody just kind of gets uncomfortable. And that word, it's almost derogatory. Oh, holier than thou. Beloved, it's not derogatory. Jesus calls it one of the great things in the kingdom. Holiness. Getting rid of sin and sinful choices in our life is something that Jesus is highlighting for us as we become humble, as he converts us and we choose then to humble ourselves. That's our action in it. And begin learning obedience and joy and serving and recognizing and seeing more and more greatness. We've got to deal with this habit of sin that has held on to us. Now again, we're not talking about sins, plural. When you read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, I hope you do that regular. You notice the difference that Paul uses when he's talking about sins, plural, and sin, singular. For the child of God, our sins, plural, are gone, forgiven. The penalty is paid in full. All of your sins, past, present, future, through the death, by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But sin, singular, that lying principle, we're to be dead to it, but I'm going to tell you, beloved, it's not dead in us. It's very much alive. And still seeking to kill and steal and destroy what God desires to do. But Jesus is showing us how to deal with this cause of temptation. This habit that I've had that my body is in agreement with. And when you start doing this, I want to tell you what will happen. Your body will revolt. Oh, good grief. It's like you've got a real fight on your hands. That's why fasting is a good way to experience this. Because that's another act of humility. Recognizing the greatness of God's word that's even better than donuts. That's a bold statement. And I want to tell you another thing about God's word. It'll actually sustain your body. It will actually strengthen your physical body as you feast on it, because it's so much greater than... Now, we need physical food, but God's word is greater. And the practice of fasting will get your body in agreement and learn some new practices. Because not only did we sin because by nature, before we were saved, and by choice and by practice. But you receive that new heart, that new life. You now have a new nature. You are no longer a sinner by nature. Now you're a saint by nature. And we've got choices to make, informed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and practices now. And just like your body learned those and enjoy those sinful practices, whatever it may be, anger. Anger is stimulating to the flesh. Are you kidding me? People get addicted to it. Just like lust, or just like greed, or just like envy, or jealousy. Your body gets thrilled with that sin. And it can learn something that's even more thrilling than sin. And that is righteousness in the Holy Spirit by His presence in you. Well, amen. Well, let me tell you a quick story and then we're done. So each year I tried to do a prayer retreat there in Bernie at Alta Frio, a Baptist encampment on the Frio River and favorite place. And I would go, and they had what they called a preacher's cabin, and you could stay there. And so quiet, Frio River, great place for 3-day prayer retreat. So I went without checking what else was going on. Well, I got there ahead of 1,500 teenagers for a 3-day retreat at Alta Frio. It was not a quiet, it was not solitude and silence that I thought it was going to be. But you can't complain. I couldn't complain. And so I decided to go to the first meeting, open air, under the tabernacle there. 1,500 teenagers, and the pastor got up and he said, "Well, let me ask first of all of you who are holy, would you stand up, please?" And I remember seeing, I knew he was a seventh grader because you could barely see that he stood up. One little boy in the middle of that, 1,500 teenagers, stood to his feet and his head was just above everybody else's. And Ken said, "Amen. Who taught you that? What's his name?" And the little boy, I could barely hear him say, "Bob Smith." "Who is Bob Smith?" "He's my daddy. He discipled me." And then Ken said, "Well, there's 1,499 lost people here tonight. This is exciting for a preacher." But man, when I heard that, I thought, amen. This is the ground floor of discipleship training. Holiness. Holiness. Because that's who God is. And that's, if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, if we're going to identify ourselves with Him, then we better get on board with holiness and learn from the Scripture how that is accomplished and what it starts with. Radical amputation, also called repentance, that says no to this choice because of its destination, and yes to this one, even though it's difficult. My body will pick up on it. My body will learn. It may complain, but it's not going to stop me from the change that God is making in me and will forever. Hallelujah and amen. Let's bow our heads together. Well, we get excited and our spiritual adrenaline gets to flowing. It does me. And one reason is because I cannot forget so many failures. We're experts. I know I'm not the only one. And the amazing love of the Father in the Son by the Spirit that continues to pick us up, embrace us, to teach us something different, that we don't have to keep doing that again and again. We can become humble, holy, faithful, loving, patient and kind, and long-suffering, that brings glory to the Father and joy and strength to me. And so I wonder, in the quietness of this time before we sing, someone may need to respond in some way. There's fellowship in response. We'll talk about it tomorrow. There's something that's strengthening about confessing. Now, you confess your sins to the Lord, but you can still confess, I'm struggling, I need prayer. And I don't want to tell you what it is, but I can tell you, I need prayer to do something different. Will you pray with me to make a different choice this next week? Because I know I'll be faced with that temptation again. And I want radical surgery in this area of my life. By the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the Spirit of God that lives in me. Jesus promised He would. As His follower, Jesus said, you will have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who lives with you because He will live in you forever. I wonder if there would be someone while we sing that would come for prayer. Maybe just come and sit on the front row and pray. Wait till the service is over for people to pray with you. You don't have to go into detail. We're not interested. Doesn't matter. What matters is a new choice that you can be excited about this next week as the temptation will arise. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for victory. Victory in Jesus. Victory in people's lives that are here, that will pray about this message, that will look again at these scriptures, that will talk to you about them. And for those that are sitting there, I'm not sure what that would be to sever, to prune. But you would make that your prayer. Lord, show me the foolish choices that need to be pruned in my life so that the fruit that will come from the new choice in the Holy Spirit will glorify you. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit for your name. So be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. While we sing, let's stand and you come and share with your pastor.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Sing that again. Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh.
Let's pray together. Our God, we are grateful that you've brought us to a place we can sit and be still and know that you're God, to hear your voice through a messenger, but especially by your Spirit, to provide truth to our hearts so that we might know you better, grow in our faith, and Lord God, to be more like you. Thank you for this great privilege. I pray, Father, for each soul in this place. It is hard in this day and time to move and admit we struggle, we go through problems. Father, I pray that you would bring us to that place of humility and the joy that's found there in looking to one greater than ourselves for the strength that we need. Father, make that real to those in this place who are hurting, who have need. We thank you for your faithfulness, as has been clearly reminded of us today, Lord God, that you are so faithful. As we prepare to depart from this place, Father, fill each one. Use us as your scattered people. Help us, Father, be bold in bringing others with us tomorrow as we come to sit in your word again and, Father God, to be fed. We pray this is not in vain, that is to your glory. And we pray it in our precious Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, brother. Don't have a closing song, so adios. Vaya con Dios.